This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Libyan fighting today could affect what you pay for gas tomorrow.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Oil is trading above $100 a barrel again today, and a lot of that has to do with uncertainty in the Middle East and North Africa. It's been a real battle in Libya for control of oil strongholds since opposition forces have tried to overthrow Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. Rebel forces have taken control of a number of oil export terminals in the east near Benghazi, but government fighters are trying to retake control violently today, as a matter of fact. What happens in those places is, of course, affecting the price of oil and gas, because Libya is a big oil producer. Samuel Chisuk is senior analyst for consulting firm IHS Energy. He's with us now from London. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So we've gotten these reports that pro-government forces are attacking key oil cities in Libya. What's that going to do to the market?
It's going to continue, obviously, to rattle the market. For now, I think, you know, Libyan production is pretty much discounted. However, if we actually see fighting about upstream and downstream installations, and then, you know, obviously potential damage to them, we are starting to talk about long-term impacts.
A senior official there in Libya at the state oil company said that the country is going to continue to get paid, even if it gets hit with sanctions from around the world. How's that going to work?
Firstly, we need to take everything that comes from the upper echelons of the old regime with a big pinch of salt. But, you know, at the same time, there's no facilities for the financial transactions to take place for opposition-controlled exports. Everything is still sort of flowing into accounts held effectively by the old government. And some of this oil has already been sold on a term contract to oil companies. So if suddenly opposition forces start to sell the same oil to other ones, there might be legal problems between oil companies in the West.
Are we guaranteed, assuming that opposition forces do take the reins in Libya, that things will settle down?
No, I think, unfortunately, there's no guarantees at all, and this is what makes it very unpredictable.
Samuel Chisuk, senior energy analyst for IHS Energy in London. Samuel, thank you.
Thank you.
And higher oil prices are likely to punch into airline profits in the coming year. The International Air Transport Association said today, because jet fuel will cost more, the airlines will be making less. About 50% less than 2010, which was estimated to be a $16 billion year for the industry. Seth Kaplan runs Airline Weekly. He's with us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida this morning. Hi, Seth.
Hi, good morning.
How is this oil price spike affecting airlines and consequently, of course, the rise in jet fuel?
Right. Well, it's affecting airlines the same way it's affecting all of us when we go to pump gas. You know, they're paying a lot more for what's already their biggest expense. Jet fuel is a lot more expensive now than it was a couple of weeks ago, and that's going to eat into their profits to the extent that they can't pass all of that along to consumers.
Yeah, I mean, connect the dots a little bit, Seth. I mean, it eats in how? I mean, they're going to raise prices, right, on their tickets.
They will when they can. You know, it's a hyper-competitive industry. Lots of airlines competing for business, and you know, you can, like any business, you can only raise your prices if your competitors are doing the same thing. So they'll try. In some cases, they'll succeed. They'll be able to pass some of this along to consumers, But in the end, essentially, consumers will end up sharing the pain with airlines. The fares will go up somewhat, but not enough to compensate for all of the increase in jet fuel prices, and so profits will also go down.
The profits down, which is what the IATA said today. The last time, Seth, we saw a big increase in fuel costs a few years back, Southwest came out a big winner, the discount airliner. Now, they had locked in or hedged their fuel costs, right, before the increase and ended up saving a lot of money. Is there a Southwest of today?
Not exactly. You're absolutely right. You know, Southwest had locked in very low prices, back about a decade ago. And remember, oil at one point, in 1998, was trading for $8 a barrel. This time around, some airlines, yes, did manage to lock in lower prices recently before we got to these levels. But you know, we're talking about prices in the 80s. You know, rather than having to pay spot prices today up near 100, nothing like what Southwest had back then. And a few airlines are completely unprotected. U.S. Airways, in particular, is completely unhedged.
So the bottom line is, tickets go up. Exactly. Seth Kaplan joining us from Fort Lauderdale. Seth, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The NASDAQ up 0.25%. The Dow is flat, down now about 8 points, 12,049. Private employers added 217,000 jobs in February. That's according to ADP, much higher than analysts were expecting. Another report out today, though, says planned layoffs shot up last month to their highest level in more than a year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
There's a new man in charge of the Motion Picture Association of America. His name? Former Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut. He'll be in Washington lobbying on behalf of Hollywood. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains why the job's considered a little cushy.
Jack Valenti was Hollywood's top lobbyist for years. He was a larger-than-life figure and gave the job lots of luster. But Valenti died 4 years ago. Since then, the association's lost a bit of that luster. It's hoping to get it back with Chris Dodd's high profile in Washington. He'll have a challenge on his hands. Hollywood is facing stiff competition from high-tech companies that have changed the way consumers get their entertainment. Still, there is the fun factor. Joe Adalian is West Coast editor of Vulture.com.
If you're going to have to represent something in Washington, why not represent one of the nation's leading exports, which is show business, as opposed to, say, something boring like, you know, nuclear energy or steel?
It won't be all fun, though. Dodd will have to deal with the association's half-dozen film executives who have outsized egos and sometimes competing interests. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Finally, CareerBuilder.com says hiring folks have reported some pretty outlandish things they've seen in the interview process. One applicant listed Master of Time and Universe in his job experience. Another labeled God as a reference, but didn't include a phone number. Some other no-nos at Marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
That whole thing about reducing dependence on foreign oil, it's been around for a while.
Let us set as our national goal that by the end of this decade, we will have developed the potential to meet our own energy needs without depending on any foreign energy sources.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the great pipeline dream, next time on Marketplace from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.